Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You don't say KRXQHD2. You don't say 98.5.
I don't have that in my notes.
You don't say KIFM. You don't say anything.
I don't have that in my notes.
KC's is basically like, hey, what's up? We're here. We're a sports show. You know what it is. Later.
that's not in my notes. I don't know where these notes came from, but I don't have them. So I got to put that in there.
All right.
That's well, fine. Let them know where else they can hear us.
98.5 FM KRXQHD2. Jesse says if you go past the Christmas tree, you went too far. We're always live on the free Odyssey app. Shout out to everybody listening to both stations on the Odyssey app, man. We really appreciate that. Clippers versus Suns first round. I'm sorry, Timberwolves versus Suns in the first round. Clippers host Dallas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of my favorites.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because we think highly of the Clippers.
Thought.
And Dallas is hot. There ain't no other way to put it. Like, Dallas is hot.
I'm saying it right now, man. I'm picking the Clippers to win that series.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not
picking against your favorite
Dallas.
Player. No, you're picking against your favorite player.
He's not my favorite, but he's one of them.
Oh, okay.
Not De'Aaron's probably got that title right now. I don't. There's no rankings, man. It's De'Aaron, Malik, Anthony Edwards, Kyrie. I still like Bron, like Jason Tatum. I got a lot of guys out there.
Give me the Mavs in six in that series, though.
Mavs in six?
I think we'll get to the end of that series. The Ty Lue stories will come out. Paul George not having his extension will come out. And it'll be, oh, yeah, it wasn't as great as it was with the Clippers.
Do we have anything on Kawhi?
I don't see anything updated.
I mean, I feel like there's just an assumption that he's going to play. That's what it sounds like.
It's an assumption, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Or is there, like...
Which makes evidence.
Just
makes me believe that that's what they think. Like, oh, you're going to play. Because, you know...
I guess I'm asking, who's the assumption from?
Maybe just everybody in the media.
Oh, okay.
But you know how that would go. Like, if he was questionable, that would be, oh, man, we don't know if Kawhi's going to play. Like, that would be... The story as opposed to,
yeah,
he's good to go. But you're right. I haven't heard anything one
way
or the other.
But that's not Kawhi. Like, Kawhi was game-to-game, like, injury updates when, like, he was, like, severely injured. He had, like, a torn meniscus or something. Oh, he's out tonight. All right, maybe the next game. Oh, he's out tonight. And then we find out, oh, he has a torn. Maybe it wasn't meniscus. It was torn something else. But, oh, he's got a severe injury.
Torn ACL.
He was never going to play.
Yeah.
When it comes to Kawhi injuries, it's always a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Regardless,
but I'm looking forward to that series.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a great series. Regardless, I'm going with the Clippers on that one. I don't think there'll ever be a time when I root for the Mavericks, though.
Well, picking a team and rooting for a team aren't exactly the same thing.
I might even pick against them just out of spite.
Well, that I can see you doing.
Yeah.
I just listened to a Woj clip like about him talking about the injury. He honestly says a whole lot of nothing. He's got right knee inflammation. Once that goes down, Kawhi will play basically.
That might go down in June.
That's basically what Woj was saying like five times over. Yeah, once they get the inflammation down, he'll be ready.
Thanks, Woj.
I tried. No time, will nothing. His knee, it's inflamed.
It's like magic. It's like listening to Woj talk is like watching magic tweet. All right, buddy. At some point, I'm going to need you to say something.
Shams was here on Friday.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Hey, walked by.
I'm sure Vivek was gushing over it. Yeah.
He said, what's up, man? He said, what's up? That was it. I think he sat next to James the whole time.
All right.
So Shams was in Sacramento.
Bucks host the Pacers. Magic at Cavs.
I was going to say Bucks Pacers. Don't sleep on that. That's the series.
I'm not sleeping on it.
That's the series that basically got Adrian Griffin fired.
It's
almost got him punched by Bobby Portis.
Well,
Giannis not guaranteed to play game one either as of right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing game one, two, three. I don't think he's playing in the series.
I was talking to Kyle during the end of the Insiders, and it was either him or Jesse. I think it was him. He was like, I'm taking the Pacers regardless. And I said, well, no, if Giannis is playing, like, Bucks will win that series. But if he's not, it's a serious issue. It is a serious issue. They might get got in that first round.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely might by a team that seemingly already has their number. It's not as dramatic as Kings Pelicans, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn close. Sixers Heat in the play-in.
Ooh.
Six, and that's the 7-8 playing. Yeah, that's the 7-8 playing.
Both of them
playing.
Should
so,
get in.
Yeah, each of them teams will have a chance. The other one is Bulls and Hawks.
Would you feel any type of way if one of those two teams didn't get in because they lost to the Bulls or the Hawks?
Yeah. Yep. I'd feel less of a way about Miami, but like the Bulls and Hawks are not playoff teams. Mm. But that's this, right? It's one. Mm-hmm. One game.
Do you have do you have a problem with that? You think that's ever gonna be an issue?
No. I don't think so. I mean, we've seen bad eight seeds before. Mm. I think it only becomes an issue, and I don't think this is the case, but let me confirm. I mean, we know God bless it. It's pretty damn close. It's Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta. Those are the rankings, right? So Atlanta's 10. There's a 10-game difference between 10 and 8.
Mm.
This is not the Western Conference. Mm. This is a 36-46 win team getting in. But here's the thing. Like, you've constructed this tournament to go a certain way. If they get hot and beat the loser of the 7-8, that's a 47-win team and a 46-win team. It's not on Atlanta. Atlanta did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. Nah,
that's a tough look because Atlanta stinks.
I'm with you on that. I don't have a problem with it either way. I don't think I ever will. It brings excitement to the end of the season this week where they're giving the playoff teams, you know, a little extra time to rest. It brings excitement to that week. And, you know, be honest, be damned. Miami, what happened with them last year, be damned. They see it ain't going nowhere anyway. You might as well ask them.
At the same time, Miami weren't a 36-win team last year.
True.
Even on their run, like I think there's levels to this. That was a 44-win team last year. That's a far cry to me from a 36-win team.
Very, very fair. But the point being, the AC don't go nowhere anyway. So I'm not willing to get rid of the excitement of the final week and the play-in just because, you know, a 36-win team upset a 43-win team to be the eight seed. Like,
no, like
that 43-win team
win the game.
Don't do nothing anyway.
Well, it's not 43, it's 47 or 46, but in that case, win the game. Like, don't be the team that lost to a 36-win Atlanta Hawks team or a 39-win Chicago Bulls team. Don't be that. Like, go win.
Yeah. Yeah.
You 10 games better, go be 10. Go be one game better.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you. I don't need to be any changes because of that.
Real quick, names getting thrown around in the chat. Does our guy Buddy Hield make the playoffs, break his streak?
Man.
I gotta say, bro, if Buddy Hield plays 84 games in a regular season and doesn't make the playoffs, like,
I can't.
84 games.
I can't get over how funny it would be if Philadelphia didn't make it. It would be so funny if they didn't make it. But I do think that kind of hurts the playoffs, and I don't want that. Like, I want Philadelphia there. Buddy and all.
Yeah.
So go ahead and break that streak, buddy. Get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I
Miss P. They might not agree.
They might want him to just stay where he was at.
Yeah.
But yeah, it don't bother me, man. I've let go of all Buddy. I don't think I really had hate.
No, it's not hate.
I've let go.
But the jokes are funny.
Well, I do laugh.
The jokes are funny.
I laugh.
But if he makes the playoffs, those jokes are kind of over. So go and get in there. I think the Eastern Conference playoffs are better if Philadelphia's in it. So I'm not rooting for them. I don't know who to pick. I feel like Philadelphia will win this game against Miami, but I don't know, man. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure at all. Weren't we here the other day and they said Joel went down in that game? I know he finished out the season, but I mean,
yeah,
who knows what he's dealing with?
Man, he's probably dealing with enough to where he shouldn't be playing. But I'm not a doctor, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express. We'll come back. We're going to be live at Sky River Casino this Friday. We'll hope you'll come through, hang out with us. Live show beginning at 12 o'clock inside 32 Brew Street. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk more playoff basketball. Is either one, Casey, continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I wish our brothers in the UFC would smarten up. Our brothers and sisters in the UFC would smarten up and demand more.
I mean, they're happy with it though. They like it. I love
salute.
It. You know what I mean? They had a big weekend on Saturday. I didn't watch the fights, but had a lot of buzz. Had some classic moments. So good. For
definitely
them.
Saw that knockout on.
That was fantastic.
Well, 1 second left. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So. Shout out to all those guys that put on a heck of a show on Saturday. But the whole thing came from because I was doing the 13th round, and you know, some people new to the show. It's like, you don't like UFC, Kenny? I said, no, I don't like UFC. Mm-hmm. Not my bag. Mm-hmm. Not what I do. Not talking about anybody who does. I'm not here to be, oh no, boxing is better. I ain't doing all that. You like UFC? That's cool. It's not really my thing. It's all good.
We were talking earlier. I mentioned, you know, talking about the game tomorrow night, how getting to the playoffs through the play-in, you know, we talk about steps going forward. Mm-hmm. Talked about how getting to the playoffs through the play-in could actually represent growth and another step forward for the Sacramento Kings. You buy that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we continue to say and we continue to speak on. I mean, this team, this franchise, this program they're trying to build, is still in its early stages, whether mm-hmm. people accept it or like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're coming towards the end of the second year of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things you got to figure out. You know, there's roster moves you got to figure out. There's growth that you have to have throughout your program. And, you know, this is just one of those learning experiences, really, in my opinion. So, you know, you're gonna learn a number of different ways. You're going to learn in series that you have. You're going to learn in, you know, how you finish off the end of a regular season. You may learn in losses. You may learn in not making the playoffs. You definitely should learn in both of those two, actually. But those outcomes are very real, and just because they happen doesn't mean it doesn't, in a way, potentially help you grow as individuals and as a team.
Amazing. As frustrating as this season has been, two games can wipe it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Two wins. Two more wins, which gets you to 48 wins on the season. It wipes everything out.
I feel, yeah, like you said, like they get these next two. This regular season almost doesn't matter.
No, nope.
Because
absolutely,
this season became something like way bigger as far as like for them going forward and progressing and all that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it absolutely doesn't matter. Detroit doesn't matter. Bob Myers doesn't matter. Charlotte doesn't matter. The Pelicans, none of it matters if you're able to get two more games.
Yeah,
I just think that's a really tall task to ask Sacramento to do. Not that they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really tall task to ask them to do. You know, you get one against the Warriors. All right, salute. Then you got to get one against the Lakers or Pelicans too. Brandon Ingram returned. I don't even know if that was a good thing for the Pelicans to have him come back there.
Didn't seem like it with the way they performed.
Sure didn't. It sure didn't. But we mentioned this earlier. When you battle adversity, it builds character a little bit.
Yeah.
And this team is going to face adversity over the next 28 hours, 29 hours leading into tomorrow's game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get out of that, like, they're going to face a huge challenge on the road against someone mm-hmm. on Friday mm-hmm. if they can get through tomorrow and get that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know what's ahead of you. You know what games are ahead of you. You just don't know if you're going to play them. Right? The only one you know you're going to play is tomorrow night. The Warriors and the Kings play tomorrow night, and that's all we know.
Yeah. I don't want to say I've done a 180. Maybe you can. I'm looking forward to it, man. When it first came out, I was like, damn, I want to deal with everything that comes with this matchup.
Well, right? I've done a 180 because I'm talking to Guru tomorrow.
Well,
I didn't want to talk to none of them. You talk about we was on Sports Sunday last night. I said, I don't want to talk to none of them people. I don't want to get into this little back and forth with Bonte. I don't want to go on the morning roast. I don't want to talk to Guru. And then as soon as Guru texts me, it's like, yeah, I'll be there. Sucker move.
You know, look.
Sucker move, Guru.
And one thing that, you know, maybe I've decided to do or I looked at it, you know, after some time is this is fun. You're in one of the high-profile matchups the league has to offer with Warriors Kings. We're a part of it. We're going to be, the setting for for some people, a little bit of a kickoff to the postseason. You know what I mean? It's going to feel real with that game at the Golden 1 Center. And, yeah, man, it's going to be fun. It'll be a lot more fun if the Kings can win and light the beam and send the mm-hmm. Warriors home. That's going to be a blast. Oh, that's going to be a blast if that could happen. But the thing that probably helps it as well for me is it is just one game. It's not a season. Yeah. It's not another 3 weeks of what we had to deal with last year. It's a couple of days, and we could do that.
Media just embarrassing themselves. I got to apologize on behalf of the media. Yeah, I was wild. Get out of family business, man, and let us have some fun.
And people were trying to step in the fight and got jumped. Yeah.
Got jumped by all sides. Y'all, get out of here. I don't know where you at. Stop it.
Told that side to go make some drums.
Yeah, go do that.
Some of y'all don't know when a work is going on, when a shoot's going on. Some of y'all don't know when you're being worked or being shooted on.
Yep. Yep. That's facts.
Oh, man. But yeah, man, Golden One Center. You seem to, you weren't sure if Golden One was going to be lit. It was going to be more nervous energy tomorrow.
I'm you know, thinking about a multitude of things. Nervous energy was the number one thing I was thinking about, and how you know, that could create kind of a tense environment for the mm-hmm. crowd. Like you have the moments at the very beginning. You know, I'm not talking about introductions. I'm not talking about when the guys take the floor. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about when the ball goes up in the air. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, where things are kind of like, okay. You know, because in part of it is the story of the season. There's some story this season. It feels like it's countless. It's not. Feels like it, though. Mm-hmm. The blown leads. Mm-hmm. And you have blown 20-point leads, 15-point leads, like whatever measurement you want to do. And Warriors fans are very aware of this, too. Mm-hmm. But you have those blown leads. So it's like there's the Kings hit 7 of 9 threes in the first quarter. Oh, De'Aaron hit another one. The Kings are up 18. It's like, oh, yay. But now it's like we were together. OKC, were they up against Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
And we were together and we were watching the game while doing the KSFM show. And it was like, okay, we just hit the point where it's disappointing now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you lose a game, you lose. Mm-hmm. But there's certain, you know, markers where it's like, all right, if you lose now, like the game's disappointing. Mm-hmm. Like if you lose now, like you had it and now it becomes disappointing. And I think there's different points, there's different games throughout this year where it was like, hey, you lose, but now it's disappointing. Like you lose to Phoenix twice this year. Yo, that's Book, that's Brad, that's KD. That's not you want to win those games,
yeah.
But you don't put anything extra on them. You blow a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, man, that changes the complexion of that loss to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And there have been, you know, so many of those. And I think with, you know, that's where nervous energy comes into play. Like, man, they're playing so good. But we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what happened. So that's what I was worried about tomorrow. And then, you know, there is the component of Malik and Kevin being out. There is the component of
Absolutely.
Just quietly wondering what this team could do, mm-hmm. and thinking, all right, I go rock with my team. Or I could probably make about $1,500. Mm-hmm. Wondered about that too, mm-hmm. and I don't look down at anybody who looks at a chance to make money. Mm-hmm. With their tickets right now. I think there was a lot of talk about that last year. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like that was realistic last year because Kings fans so desperately wanted to be in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know how they feel about this. Like, this is, you know, we could do hyperbole, but it's accurate. Mm-hmm. This is the first ever play-in game in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that carries the same luster because they were in the playoffs last year and they were in the 3 seed. I don't know if that's not even luster, if it's a gross. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But I kept thinking, like, all right, it's the first play-in game in the history of this franchise. What are they going to do with it? So I do have a man, what's the arena going to look like tomorrow? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to sound like?
It, to me, and I know it's a little different because some of that is the season ticket, you know, money and stuff like that. Like the tickets are already paid for, you already got them, stuff like that. But Friday, there wasn't much on the line as opposed to being 7 or 8 or 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And it was charged up. They wanted it bad.
It was. Mm-hmm.
They wanted it bad. Yeah. On Friday,
they wanted
night.
To see them win.
Yeah.
It would be my assumption.
Yeah.
They just wanted to see them win a game.
And I think that's times maybe 5 or 6 is going to be what it's going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see them win. They want to see the Warriors lose. They want to see them beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to see the season keep going. That's, I think that's the overriding thing that I keep seeing and keep feeling about this team. Very frustrated with how this team has played, you know, the up and down nature of their games, blowing leads, losing to teams they shouldn't lose to, all that other stuff. But I talk to people, see tweets, things of that nature. And when it gets down to it, and I think that's why tomorrow is going to be such a madhouse, when it gets down to it, nobody wants the season to end yet.
Yeah,
they don't want the season to end. They want another light the beam chant or whatever. Like they, nobody, I heard that a couple of different times. Man, I'm not ready for the season to end. You know, I want to get a couple more games here, you know, at the Golden One. Get into the series, you know, whatever. I think everybody really, really wants to get into the playoff series. And, man, I think they're going to be charged all the way up on Tuesday. And it's going to be some good stuff, man.
Yeah,
I think they'll be charged up, like, early on in the game and stuff like that. But I do wonder if the Kings do get down, how much of the crowd goes to, like, oh, no, let's pick them back up. Or, like, here we go again. Like, just something we saw all season. Like, you know how fans in the playoff postseason stuff, like, they'll get you going still, like, if you're down. But how much of it is going to be, yep, they're back again. Just more so, like, yeah, it's just they don't got it.
Well, I do think it's Kings fans' nature, though. Like, they just always, like, if you get down by 18 and you crack it to 11, they're going to turn up in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's going to get really, really loud.
Give them something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's just kind of how they're wired, how we're wired here. So, yeah, there's that. Should be a good time.
Jordy Fernandez is a finalist for the Nets job, along with Mike Budenholzer and Kevin Young. This is a Jordy's going to be a head coach. Like, that's the worst kept secret in coaching circles. Like, Jordy's going to be a head coach. Is it Brooklyn? I'm not sure. I think he interviewed for Charlotte. I know Lindsey Harding interviewed with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. That was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski. I got to talk to Lindsey a little bit yesterday. And
it's big time. I didn't talk to Lindsey.
Bro, you've name dropped Shams today.
I didn't even talk to Shams. I just gave him a head one? Nod. It was Mason Jones.
Oh, Mason Jones. Yeah, yeah.
It's not Lindsey Harding. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Everybody saw the jacket, too. Come on, man. Stop playing with us.
The jacket was fire. That's
stop playing with us.
The jacket was fire. I had to break it out to one game.
Sometimes I dream that he is me.
Hey, don't steal my gimmick, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? This coaching staff could look a little different next year. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if Jordy takes the job, because I keep going back to Bobby. Obviously, Lindsey interviewed for a head coaching job in Charlotte. But I think Bobby, you know, Bobby was the last head coach of the Stockton Kings, and he got a front row assistant for Nick Nurse in Philadelphia. I wonder if there's a scenario where Jordy Fernandez takes the job in Brooklyn or somewhere, and there's a role for Lindsey Harding on the front row of the Sacramento Kings. Becoming like I know this kind of sounds silly, but there is a hierarchy to this, like front row assistants and second row assistants. Mm-hmm. You know, the front row assistants are the, you know, those are the coaches you see. Those are the Jordys. Those are, you know, the guys that you hear so much about. The Kenny Atkinson was with Steve Kerr, the Mike Brown with Steve Kerr. Getting promoted from a head coach in the G League to that, yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious what's next for Lindsey. I'm really curious what's next for Jordy. I'd be a little surprised if Brooklyn went with Mike Budenholzer, but I've always believed Mike Budenholzer's a good coach. I just wanted him fired for like 4 years straight.
Why? I feel like I would feel like he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Mike?
Mm-hmm. Just because you went with a guy last time in Jacques Vaughn that I don't believe that was his first job.
Yeah, that wasn't the right.
You kind of forced into it with the email situation as well. But even with Steve Nash, that was his first job. I think when trying to put this program back together in Brooklyn, you want somebody a little bit more established.
I see where you're going. Yeah, you don't want to hire your third straight first year. I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I'd argue those were bad hires too.
True.
Steve Kerr was a business. Like Steve Kerr.
Nash.
Nash. I'm sorry. Steve Nash never been an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was like a player development. He was like a made up position in Golden State.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like that's not what Jordy is.
He was damn near Alvin Gentry.
Yeah, that's well. Don't do that. Don't do that. Alvin, the coolest man in the room.
No, Alvin the man. Saw Alvin the other day.
Alvin, just, of course you did.
Who, I didn't talk to him.
Who did?
I didn't talk to him.
Who didn't you see Friday?
You.
That's a shoot. That's a shoot. I tried, but it didn't work. And everyone was asking me all day, "Where's Kenny? Oh, he's coming."
Stop, bro. This guy, you hear this guy?
Don't look this way. I know. I get it, D-Lo. I get it.
Thank you.
I get it.
Thank you.
I get it.
Went on all, and all I kept saying was, "He'll be here."
Yeah.
No, he's coming. He'll be
here. They changed the time on my kids' all-star tryouts. Mm. It's supposed to be 9 a.m. Ended up being 12:30.
I got you.
Yeah. That was Jacques Vaughn's second job, by the way, that Nets job.
What was his first one?
It was with the Magic from like 2012.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Didn't go great.
Not going to take that from Jacques Vaughn. Yeah, this coaching staff could look a little bit different. I'm curious how this shakes out. This was brought up. This was Phil mentioned Scott Foster, and we kind of got a chuckle out of that, you know, because of the Chris Paul stuff. How much of a role do you think officiating will play into tomorrow night's game? Because it's hard to say none.
Yeah, I don't. With the way they officiate stars and a guy like Steph Curry, I think it's going to play a big role. Big role. He's not exactly LeBron. You know, when you talk about fouls, LeBron and AD, but if it's close, they're always going to go with Steph, you know, regardless of what he does. So you want to try and keep him, if you can, from shooting 11, 12 free throws in the game, because if he's doing that, it's all bad. It's all bad, just say the least.
Yeah. I feel like the I wonder if the All-Star game broke Adam Silver. Because that's where it felt like all of the changes started to happen with officiating. And we remember the famous look that Adam had on his face at the All-Star game. Presenting.
Quotes, everything.
Yeah, he was not thrilled with this. And of course, you know, there was the All-Star game is much less of a, perhaps a determining factor in what we've seen with officiating than what we were seeing in the first half of the season, where the whole conversation in the first half of the season was offense, 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 if it's offense. Yeah. And since then, you know, he acknowledged finally, I think it was early last week, that we did change some things. Mm. You know, we took some feedback and said that officiating was favoring the offense too much, and we had to tighten that up a little bit. And I just couldn't help but like, yo, Adam, you did that in the middle of the year. Mm. And these guys have had to like play a different way. And I think there's a fine line between what Adam was talking about in that like officiating favoring offense versus, yeah, we're just not going to call fouls anymore. And I'm not harping on the end of the Phoenix game, but there's a lot of plays. There was one yesterday under the basket. It was like the ball was loose like three times in the first half. It's like, yo, they really didn't call one single foul on that. There was like four fouls on each team under the basket. They just let it go. And my thinking has been consistent. If you let it go on both sides, then it balances out. But I also look at, these guys have had to adjust the way that they play. Like unless you're SGA, of course, then you could still get to the line 20 times a game. But like De'Aaron and Domas already didn't get calls before this new edict. Now they really, really don't get calls. De'Aaron went from having to fight for them to, you know, get to the foul line six times or whatever to he's taking his first free throws in the fourth quarter now. And it's like that's a hell of an adjustment that you have to make if you're a player in this league in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I wonder, and I know you haven't said one way or another, so I'd like to know what you think. What should Adam have done in that situation? I think
We'll visit it. We'll revisit it in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think he should have waited to the offseason. Like, with the way offense was and to the point where.
Do you think it was because of officiating?
A little bit of officiating and a little bit of these guys just not playing defense. Just like I think, like, the way the game has started to change is a little bit of officiating and a little bit of people finally deciding, all right, let's play some defense now. Mm-hmm. So,
are you saying things ramped up?
Ramped up.
Wow. Wow. How about that? Up.
Yeah. It happens that? After the All-Star.
How about that? That's what I heard.
Yeah. So, but if he had a conversation with, you know, the head of officials or all the officials around the All-Star break or something like that, was like, hey, you know, we got to do a better job of letting a little bit of this physicality go because it's just a parade to the free throw line. It was a little unenjoyable with all the free throws that were always played. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think if it's gone too far, you know, and it's swung too far in the physicality range, but you know, I've watched these games lately and I don't have any problem with how the game is being officiated in that respect and the way it's being played. Like, I haven't even noticed it. And so I saw people complaining. Drake was on the post game complaining about the physicality of, you know, these games. And I was like, they just out there, they're getting after it.
As long as the physicality goes both ways. Not that's the number one thing. As long as it's, you know, so-and-so can be physical against Sacramento, but Sacramento's got to play,
right?
You know, hands back, chest up. Like, they got to, you know, you got to play textbook Mike Brown defense or you're going to get called for a foul. It's like, hold up.
Right.
That's not what you're doing over there. But if it's even across the board, it's even across the board and it's a level playing field. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a hell of an adjustment to ask these guys to make in the middle of the year. Yeah. We'll come back. I believe James Hamm is going to join us. He had a couple of things going on. Obviously, he was at practice as well. So I think James is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. And we've got that key word for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, pull up ESPN1320.com right now. We've got your chance to win $500 coming up here. That's next, actually. It's the top of the 3 o'clock hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN1320. Ramsey on the line. It's got to be the draft tonight, yeah?
That's a good guess.
The WNBA draft?
That's a really good guess.
Did something happen in baseball?
That's what I was trying to think, if anything happened.
I don't think he's calling to tell us about his catfish.
Maybe he's talking about the A's.
Okay. I'm going to go to draft.
I'm going to go A's.
Okay, draft tonight. 916-909-1320. What's happening, Ramsey?
None of the guesses are correct.
Of course not.
I just want to give a shout out to the Masters this weekend. Scottie Scheffler getting his second green jacket in 3 years. Plus, got to give a shout out to Tiger Woods. Even though he might have struggled this weekend, he still made all four rounds. And what in with Tiger Woods? Got to give him the shout out for the proper gesture, the handshake to the legend Bern Lundquist, who's retiring after 40 years at the Masters.
Yeah, good stuff.
Shout out Vern. I like Vern.
I met Vern at UT once. He was calling a Tennessee game. Mm. Very, very nice man.
Yeah, I like Vern. He's a legend.
Ramsey had his mask on. Ramsey got his call. He got his stuff off through the mask. I can't believe I forgot about the Masters. Damn it. He got us.
It was right there for us.
I did think on Saturday when Tiger had the bad day, don't withdraw.
Yeah.
Tiger going to withdraw. Bad knee.
Yeah,
bad back. No, but he finished.
That's what I like to see from Tiger. Good job, man. Speaking of Saturday, just real quick before James gets here.
Oh, ran into somebody else?
No, I didn't run into
anybody else. Not into Chris Webber. You can name drop that one.
That's what I was going to say. On Saturday afternoon, we talked about it a little bit. We had the honor of hosting the Fireside Chat, Oak Park Speaker Series with Chris Webber and Kevin Johnson. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Great conversation. And, you know, just hearing Chris talk about, you know, his journey and then his time in Sacramento. And
by the way, I just got a text. I don't think we're done working in Oak Park.
I hope not.
I just got a text. I don't think we're done.
Yeah, I love what they're doing over there at the Guild Theater and the Speaker Series. And I hope not for sure. But I think you talked about it before when we had to, you know, talk and before Chris got there. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, Chris was always the guy. He's the greatest Sacramento King of all time. Mm-hmm. And hearing him speak a little bit later, going back, watching like highlight films and things of that nature, this is literally one of the best basketball players to ever walk the earth was here in Sacramento. And I thought KJ brought up a great point too of how Chris was a part of two iconic teams and genres or something like that, like with the Fab Five and what they meant to pop culture and basketball and everything. And then what he was able to do with the greatest show on court. And all I kept thinking with that is, you know, he's fortunate to experience that and be a part of that. I said, who's the common denominator and all that? It's Chris Webber. Like, those things worked the way they did because of Chris Webber. And yeah, I just he's a hell of a Hall of Famer, but I'm just interested in the things he has to say as a man and his journey as a man.
Yeah,
we talk about this book that he just wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing a quick search because I was confused why people were asking. Unless I'm missing something, you can get the book right now at Underground Books today in Oak Park. It doesn't drop on Amazon till October.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it says October 16,
2024. Wow.
Or, excuse me, released October 15, 2024. So I
had to go down to the P.
Yeah, go to Old Park.
Old Park, man. Go to Underground Books.
Of course.
Mama Rose. Not Mama Rhodes, Mama Rose.
It could have been sold.
True.
Like there was a lot of books being handed out. I think you can also go to chrisweber.com if you want to get your hands on By God's Grace. I think we're going to see a lot more of Chris Webber around Sacramento.
I hope so. Shout out Mo. Shout out KMB. Mm-hmm. You know, they did a great job. Shout out to your publicist, you know, your PR person that, you know, made sure everything went smoothly.
Yes, that would be your mother.
That's your publicist.
Yes, that would be your mother. Yeah, your mother is 100% our biggest. Your mother was the one who orchestrated the photo. I was not in line to get a photo. I was just talking with people, including your mom. And then we got towards the bookstore. And we knew Kendra was there. I saw Mo. Mo was like, hey, you know, KMB is here. And so we went over and spoke to Kendra. And then your mom said, D-Lo, when I wave, you need to come over here. When I'm going to take my picture. And then when I wave, you come over here and take the picture. And it's like, okay, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah.
So she gets her picture with Chris. She waves, we come over, we take the picture, and you're talking to Chris, and she goes, get in there. I was like, no, like, I don't have nothing to say. Like, Kenny's talking to Chris. Like, no, go over there, D-Lo. No, Cheryl, like, let them talk. Take a picture of them talking. They're hugging right there. I don't have anything to say to Chris. Like, go talk to them. No, Cheryl. I had to tell your mom no. And Kendra tells us the book's in the team store.
Oh, okay.
The book is available at the Kings team store.
If you're going to the game on Tuesday, man, stop by the team store.
But yeah, copy. And remember, like, as we said this is he went Mankind style. He went Mick Foley style. Yeah, he wrote this book.
This book is thick. It is.
No, it is.
You know, I'll let that one fly because I didn't get a flag thrown on me earlier.
Yeah, well,
Chatty House.
They were asking for a review.
They were. But, hey, you guys got the same flags I do, okay? So I'll let that one slide. We'll keep it fair today. You guys see a legend from our soundboard retire today?
This is 500 pages.
Man. I love the way it's put together, though, you know, with the
it's really
there's pictures
nice.
In there, too, so you can, you know, see the family and things of that nature. So I thought.
What retired today?
A legend from our soundboard retired today.
Oh, yes.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Oh, no, he's done.
Effective immediately.
Yeah, effective immediately. Yeah, John Sterling retired.
What? hell happened?
I don't know. Just, it was announced today, actually.
I think, yeah, I don't, yeah, he's over, what, 35 years?
Yeah, like.
You can't get a year?
Bro, whoa, like the clips on the soundboard tell you what was going on.
Maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore. 35 years is a long ass time.
Well, he can't start the season and stop midway through.
Why?
Got to finish it.
Maybe he just realized, oh, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
What did I do wrong?
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
It is gone. But caught.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. That's why he retired.
I need more. I need more of those. I'm not ready to give up those sound bites.
Yeah, those are some solid sound bites right there.
And now they got Michael K, I guess. Michael K's not that good. He's not bad, but not bad, he ain't Sterling.
Well, no, I think it's tough when you gotta. I mean, that's pretty iconic. You have some iconic goals. Michael K does the radio?
I think he does TV.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a different relationship,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, the
Michael K's fine. He's fine. He just, you know, I don't know.
Aren't they doing the K-Rod cast or whatever on ESPN for a bit with Michael K?
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was a little excessive.
Yeah. Well, oh, this is, did y'all see, I don't know if, I never know what Alex is messaging about ever, but he mentioned Boban. Did you see Boban last night?
That was awesome.
Boban missed a free throw so everyone could get free chicken.
Yeah.
Like, he missed the first one. I think he just missed it.
Right.
And the crowd went nuts. And he's like looking around, and I think someone, he was like, oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, and he starts like pointing, and he, you know, he goes like wide right on the free throw and puts his, he puts his hand in the air when the crowd goes nuts.
That was awesome.
That was funny. I saw on Twitter, someone tweeted, yeah, so when Jonte Porter does it, he getting kicked out the league, but when Boban does it, we love it, huh?
Well, it's different. Boban, a man of, well, if Boban has a DraftKings report of him missing free throws, right, then it's a little bit different. But right now, Boban was just trying to get everybody free
probably
chicken.
Jonte's burner who put that out there.
What's up, Hammer?
Boban would just send John Wick over to take care of Adam Silver.
Oh my!
Was Boban in Boban? Yeah. Was Boban in John Wick?
Yeah,
Boban's been
like
in movies,
three,
right? Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he grabbed John Wick by the head with his giant hands.
Yeah, it was the third one. It's the opening scene, and John Wick kills him with a book.
John Wick kills Boban with a book?
Yeah.
How many John Wick movies are there?
Four. Going to be a fifth, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, he's all right. He's definitely found his niche again.
Boban?
No, the gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
Oh, Keanu.
Yeah. This is like, isn't this the, what, yeah, the third series he's part of?
Well, the Matrix, or what's
there
the other one?
There was two speeds, right? Well, he might not have been in the second speed now that I think about it.
No, Jason Patrick was in the second speed.
Yeah, now that I think about it, he wasn't in the
second. I mean, but the Matrix and John Wick are massive moneymakers.
For sure.
Absolutely for sure. Massive moneymakers.
Oh, he also made 3 Bill and Ted's.
Oh, forgot
that is accurate. He did
using Bill and Ted.
He did in fact make Bill and Ted movies.
That's right.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.